It was Benjamin Franklin who said, "Do not squander time, for it is the stuff that life is made of." And he was also the one that said, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." But today's generation is fighting the clock. Frustrated families, like we saw Ruth and Chris portray, are always fighting the clock, trying to find time for God and trying to find time for their family. They stay up as late as they can. They sleep to the very last moment, jump up, gobble down some kind of non-nutritious breakfast on the way to work the whole time, putting on their makeup or shaving with their razor in the car, juggling a cell phone, rushing, 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 just so you can come home and rush again. You know, when I think about the life of Jesus, I'm impressed that he never ran. I started to say, how many of you are going to be here tomorrow night? Raise your hand, but I decided not to do that. I didn't want to put you on the spot, so if you're not going to be here tomorrow night, raise your hand. Okay, great. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It was Benjamin Franklin who said, "Do not squander time, for it is the stuff that life is made of." And he was also the one that said, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." But today's generation is fighting the clock. Frustrated families, like we saw Ruth and Chris portray, are always fighting the clock, trying to find time for God and trying to find time for their family. They stay up as late as they can. They sleep to the very last moment, jump up, gobble down some kind of non-nutritious breakfast on the way to work the whole time, putting on their makeup or shaving with their razor in the car, juggling a cell phone, rushing, 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 just so you can come home and rush again. You know, when I think about the life of Jesus, I'm impressed that he never ran. He never got in a hurry. He never one time said to his disciples, "Come on, guys, we're going to be late." He had an inner pace about him, constant but calm. And you know why that is? It's because Jesus was God. And God is not bound by time nor space. In fact, look at Psalm chapter 90 and let's see what the Bible has to say about God and time. We're going to skip around several verses. Begin in verse 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." How old is God? That question can't be answered. I mean, from the beginning of the beginning to the end of the end, God's always been God. From everlasting to everlasting. God doesn't wear a Rolex or a Timex. He doesn't have a Palm Pilot. He's not bound by time. Look at verse 4. "For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night." That's a 4-hour period. Skip down to verse 10. "The length of our days is 70 years. If you want to write out beside there, that's 25,000 days. "Or 80 years if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Verse 12. "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." As I conclude this series on family and endangered species, I want to talk to you about the importance of family time. And I want to take that word time, T-I-M-E, and I just want to let each letter spell out a word that will help you know how to spend your time wisely. Number one, the T stands for treasure. You must treasure time as something that is valuable. And you must treasure your family time. Husbands and wives, treasure that time you spend together. Parents and children, treasure that time. How much is time worth? How much is 1 minute worth? Let me ask you. Ask the family whose husband had a heart attack and the paramedics were about a minute late. Had they been there 1 minute earlier, he would have lived, but he died. How valuable is that moment, that minute? How valuable is 1 second? Ask the person who hesitated 1 second before swerving out of the way of the approaching vehicle. If they could go back and buy that 1 second, how much do you think they'd pay for it? How valuable is a fraction of a second? Ask the Olympic swimmer who missed qualifying for the finals by 0.6 of a second. How much is it worth? Oh, my friend, I hope I can convince you today that time is a treasure. Let's learn a couple of things. First of all, the most valuable asset to share with your family is your time. There's nothing more valuable that you can give to your family than your time. As I've said before, my father's generation, the builders, the heroes of World War II, grew up saying, I want my children to have all the things that I never had as a kid. And so they bought us a lot of stuff. And what we need to be saying to our children is that we want our children to have the things that we never had, maybe time with our children. Because you know how parents spell love? T-H-I-N-G-S. But you know how kids really spell love? T-I-M-E. If you remember last week, I talked about 10 habits of highly successful families, and I quoted to you some of the things that our members wrote back to me. One man wrote this, and I quote, "Dads, your wife and your kids want you, not your money." I say the best thing you can give to your mate is your time. The best thing you can give to your children is time. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Give them your time. Steve Farrar tells a story about a hard-charging executive who had a 12-year-old son, and he wasn't spending much time with his son. And one night, his son said, "Dad, how much money do you make an hour?" He said, "I don't know, son, don't bother me. Come on, Dad, I really want to know. How much money do you make on an average hour?" He said, "I don't know, maybe $50 an hour." A couple of weeks later, after the little boy had done a series of odd jobs around the community to earn some money, he came to his dad and said, "Dad, I've got $25. Could I buy 30 minutes of your time tomorrow for us to just do stuff together?" The greatest asset you give to your family is your time. Learn a second lesson also, is that you can make more money, but you can't make more time. It's true, isn't it? I mean, making money is not the easiest thing in the world, but you can make more money. But I'd like to see anybody in this room create more time. You cannot do it. Time is fixed. There's a certain amount of time that you're given, and you can't make more of it. Have you ever heard the expression, time is money? People in business say that a lot, time is money, but it's not true. Time is much more valuable than money. Because when you spend some money, did you know that you'll probably sometimes get some money back? But when you spend time, it's gone forever. A.W. Tozer, tremendous Christian writer, said this about time. "Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When time is lost, it's unrecoverable." He says this, "When you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection." Oh, husbands and wives, treasure that time with your mate. Parents and children, treasure that time you spend with your children. Let's go on to the letter I in time. The I stands for invest. Invest, because really, we use a lot of funny words about time. We talk about saving time. We talk about buying time. We talk about making time. We talk about finding time. We talk about wasting time. But you know what? Really, you can't do any of those things. Go ahead to point number one. Here's the truth. You can't save time. You can only invest it. You know, it's funny. We talk about time-saving devices at home. Most of you in this room have a microwave oven, or you have all these other time-saving appliances. I'd like for you to show me right now some of that time that you've saved. Where is it? And you know, us guys, we like to take shortcuts that sometimes aren't all that short. But the reason we like to take shortcuts is because we say we want to save time. We want to save a little time here. I'd like for you to show us some of that time that you've saved taking that shortcut. You can't save it. You can't store it up. You can't hoard it. You can't, as we read, put it in your pocket and save it for a rainy day. You can only invest it. Some of you, my generation, remember there was a songwriter in the late 60s and early 70s by the name of Jim Croce. And he wrote the lyrics to a great song. He said, "If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you." Oh, those are great lyrics. And I mean, any woman hearing a song like that is going to say, whoa, 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 whoa. But did you know the tragic thing about it? You can't save time in a bottle. In fact, tragically, even before that song was released, Jim Croce ran out of time. Doing a concert over here in Natchitoches, Louisiana, his plane took off in 1973, clipped a tree at the end of the runway, flipped and crashed and burned, and he was out of time. Oh, you can't save it. You can only invest it. And I like what Billy Graham said when he spoke to a commencement exercise at his alma mater, Wheaton. He said, "Time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stocks in which we are to invest our time, whether they're blue chips or penny stocks or even junk bonds." Time is a little bit like money in that you can spend it and you can invest it. But there's a huge difference, because people in this room, we all have probably different amounts of money, probably because some people have invested it more wisely than others. But we all have exactly the same time. Every single day, God gives you 86,400 seconds. He doesn't give anybody else any more than that, the same amount. And as I've said before, it's as if somebody puts $86,400 in your account and he says you must spend it, you must invest it wisely, because at the end of the day, it's wiped out and you lose it. But you know what? There's no promise that tomorrow you'll have the same deposit made. It's the same thing with time. You don't know if tomorrow there'll be 86,400 seconds given to you, because it's a gift. And so you must invest it wisely. Let's move on to number two. Where you invest your time reveals what is most important to you. Now, I could really follow you around for a few days, or you could follow me around for a few days, and I could observe you. Where do you invest your time? And after watching you for about 10 days to 2 weeks, I could come up to you and say, "You know what? I know what's most important in your life, because this is where you're putting most of your time." Now, most of you have heard this before, but there are 168 golden hours in every week, 168 hours. You're going to spend about 56 hours sleeping. You're going to spend about 24 of those hours eating or in personal hygiene, and you'll probably spend about 50 of those hours in working or driving back and forth from work. And you know how many hours that leaves in a week for discretionary time? Only about 35 hours. And most of those are on Saturday and on Sunday. And I ask you, where are you investing those hours? And wherever you're investing those hours, what you're saying is, that's what's most important to me. By the way, not too long ago, there was a study of 1,500 households done by the University of Michigan. This was a secular study. They found this, that mothers working outside of the home spend an average of 11 minutes a day with their children, and fathers spend an average of 8 minutes a day. Now, that doesn't include eating meals. Mothers, 11 minutes a day. Fathers, 8 minutes a day with their children. And, you know, I've heard people say before, "Well, you know, I don't spend much time with my family, but what I spend is quality time." Have you ever heard that before? You've probably even said it before. And I don't want to make you mad, friends, but you know what that is? That's just a smokescreen. That's just a sham. Because I'm here to tell you, there is no such thing as quality time. I mean, is there 1 second that's better than the next second? Whoa, boy, that was a good second right there, but it's gone. Wow, that's a better second right there. No, there's no such thing as quality time. Now, there's time that is invested wisely that is more meaningful, but sometimes parents, listen to me, cop out. And sometimes husbands and wives cop out by saying, "I'm not spending much time with my family or with my mate, but it's quality time." Let me illustrate it. It's kind of like money. Come here, Mike. You know, Mike, I love you so much, I want to give you a gift. This is a $100 bill. Can everybody say that is a $100 bill? My God, I love you, but you know what? That's all wrinkled and faded, and it's not very good quality, so I just happen to have a very clean, crisp $10 bill here, Mike. And you know, I love you so much, I wouldn't dare give you this old wrinkled $100 bill. I'm interested in giving you quality money. So there you go, Mike. Congratulations there, buddy. Thank you. I love you so much. Now, that's what it's like when you say, I'm not giving my family much time, but it's quality time. My friend, there's no such thing. You invest it wisely. That's the I in time. Let's go on to the letter M. The letter M is for manage. You must learn to manage time wisely, or actually manage yourself wisely. Now, most of you have heard this story before. It's from Stephen Covey's book, First Things First. But he talked about a time management expert who was speaking to a bunch of executives. And he was illustrating it by taking a large, clear mason jar. And in the mason jar, he put 6 or 8 large stones. And he asked the participants, is the jar full? And everybody nodded. But then he took gravel and he poured it in till it was full. Is it full now? Nobody nodded this time because they knew where he was going. And then he took sand and filled it up till it was completely full. Is it full now? And 2 or 3 nodded. Some others went like this. And then he took water and he added water to it and filled it up. He filled it up 4 times. And he said, now what's the lesson as it relates to time? And everybody put their hands up and said, we know. The lesson is, no matter how full or busy your schedule is, there's always room to put more things in your schedule. He said, wrong, wrong, wrong. The lesson is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you never will fit them in. I want to ask you, what are the big rocks in your life? What about spending time with the Lord? Giving time to Him? And then what about spending time with your mate? Spending time with your family? Listen, my friend, if you don't put those big rocks as priorities in your life and in your schedule to begin with, you will never fit them in afterwards. So let's talk about managing a little bit. Here's the first statement. Every moment is a gift from God that must be managed wisely. You know, when I gather every fall, Cindy and I, for this thing we call the Barnabas Conference, where we bring in 16 young pastor couples from all over East Texas out here at our retreat facility. We don't charge them anything. We just do it as a gift, just to encourage them. That's when we call it the Barnabas Conference. The number one question I get every year is always the same question. They say, David, tell us how you manage time as a pastor between the demands of a church and the demands of a marriage and the demands of a family. And it's the same for all of you. That's why millions of dollars are spent every year to pay consultants to come in to talk to corporations about how to manage your time. But I agree with Stephen Covey again, who said this in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. He said, time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it, speed it up, save it or lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward at the same rate. The challenge is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves. You know, I like what the Bible has to say better than what Stephen Covey has to say. Actually, the Bible has a word different than manage time. It uses the word redeem the time. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Let me tell you what that means. That means you move with your eyes wide open, looking around, looking for every opportunity. By the way, that's why Emmett Smith is such a great running back. Not because he's fast or strong, but he's always looking for holes to open up so he can dart through them. That's running circumspectly. That's running with your eyes open. That's what we're to be doing. And the scripture continues, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. There it is, because the days are evil. What that means is that you ought to be looking for opportunities to invest time in your marriage. Looking for every opportunity to invest time in your children. Here's the second point. If you don't manage your time, someone else will manage it for you. Have you found that to be true? That if you don't take control of your schedule and manage it for yourself, there's always somebody who'll step in and manage it for you. Have you ever heard the expression, time flies? Well, it does, but my friend, who's the pilot? You can be the pilot or somebody else is going to be the pilot when time flies. And if you're the one that's making the choices and managing your time, then you'll have better control over it. I know of one dad in this church, and I'm sure there are many others, but he plans his family vacations 2 years in advance. 2 years in advance. He puts them down on the calendar. You know why? Because he says, if I don't do that, something will always come up that will keep us from spending quality family time together. Another story from popular music. Many of you are familiar with the song that Harry Chapin recorded a number of years ago called The Cat's in the Cradle. It's a song about the importance of spending time with your children. It starts out saying this: my child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. Next verse says, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball now. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away and he smiled and he said, you know I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And then the last verse. I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. But you see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been real nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. You want to know the rest of that story? Harry Chapin didn't even write those words. His wife, Sandy, wrote those words in 1971 when their son, Josh, was born. But he became so popular as a songwriter and singer, that he started doing up to 200 concerts a year away from his family. And 7 years after his son was born, his son was 7 years old, and his wife, Sandy, complained and said, Harry, when are you going to start living that song and spending time with your family? And you know what Harry Chapin said? He said, at the end of this summer, I promise. The end of that summer never came, because in July of 1981, Harry Chapin's Volkswagen Bug was crushed in a collision with a truck, and he died. You see, folks, if you don't put those big rocks in your schedule to begin with, the Lord first, your marriage, your family, they'll never fit in. That's what it means to manage your time. Well, let's look at the last letter. I like this last letter. It's the word enjoy. Enjoy. I really think you ought to enjoy your family time. Make the most of it. Just enjoy it. Have fun together. That's what family time is for. Let's learn a couple of ways to enjoy your family time. Number one is to say no to family time robbers. I tell you, one of the most powerful words that you can ever learn is no. Is saying no to all the other opportunities that come your way so you can say yes to family time. And by the way, did you know that when you say yes to one thing, you've already automatically said no to everything else during that time? And there's so many distractions. There's so many interruptions. There's so many demands upon your time. You must learn to say no. Many of you, of course, have heard of Ken Griffey Jr., great baseball player. Several years ago, he was voted by the Major League Players to receive the Players' Choice Award, not for the Player of the Year, but for the Player of the Decade. I mean, he beat out players like Barry Bonds and like Mark McGwire and all the others. And they were going to give him the Player of the Decade Award on national television. But Ken Griffey said, no, I can't accept the award. He said, because my 5-year-old son, Trey, is playing in his first baseball game that night, and I'm not going to miss it. I don't know much else about Ken Griffey Jr., but I was impressed when I read that story. Because I tell you what, my friend, all of the awards and all of the opportunities in this world don't compare to that time that we get to spend with our families. I cannot remember anything that my dad ever bought me as a child, unless maybe it's my BB gun. But I do remember those times we spent fishing together. And those times that he spent coaching my little league baseball team. Enjoy that time together. Learn to say no. And here's the other way to enjoy your family time. Your family time is short. So make some happy memories. I mean, make those good memories. And I mean, travel together. Go out on picnics. Play games together. Just enjoy it, because before you know it, they're going to be grown and they're going to be gone. You know, when I moved here almost 12 years ago, I had two little girls at home, and everybody said to me, "Oh, Pastor, they're going to grow up so fast." And there was times I thought it was never going to end. But then looking back on it, I'm saying, wow, what happened to those years? All of you who are my age and older know they just grow up so fast. In fact, the Bible says that life itself passes quickly. Look at James chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible asks the question, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Some of you think that, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. But that's not true. That takes way too long. Like your breath on a cold winter morning, vapor gone. That's your life. I like all kinds of music, and Wayne Watson is a great singer-songwriter. He writes Christian songs, and he wrote a song called "Watercolored Ponies" that is about how husbands and wives had better love each other, because one day children are going to be gone. It's just going to be the two of you. But it's also a song about how quickly those kids are gone. I want to share it with you. The first verse says, "There are watercolored ponies on my refrigerator door, and the shape of something I don't really recognize. Brushed with careful little fingers and put proudly on display, a reminder to us all of how time flies. Seems an endless mound of laundry and a stairway laced with toys gives a blow-by-blow reminder of the war that we fight for their well-being, for their greater understanding, to impart a holy reverence for the Lord." Let's just let Wayne share the chorus with us.
"Still I wonder, baby, what will we do when it comes back to me and you? They look a little less like little boys every day. For the pleasure of watching the children growing is mixed with a bitter cup of knowing the watercolor ponies will one day, one day,
they grow up. They're gone. And those years can never be reclaimed. So can I just challenge every mom and dad? Can I just challenge every husband and wife to make the most of your family time together? But you know, there's a matter about time that I can't complete this message without just sharing it with you. You know, you've heard of Ecclesiastes 3. That's the chapter about to everything. There's a season, turn, a time to be born, a time to die, time to love, a time to hate. But the most important verse in Ecclesiastes 3 is chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And this is the next phrase I want you to notice. "He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end." It's not a matter of time. It's a matter of eternity. And if you start living your life in light of eternity, then you won't feel the pressure of time. I said, God may give you 70 years, who knows, 25,000 days. The Bible says, number your days correctly. We don't number them right. I mean, when we're born, we say day one, day two, day three, day four. You know how God numbers our days? When you're born, 25,000. Next day, 24,999. Next day, 24,998. You know what a countdown is, don't you? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You always expect something to happen. A new year to come in at Times Square, or the shuttle to take off. I want you to know that your countdown is active right now. And the thing is, you don't know what the countdown is. And I don't know, but God knows. But I can say this, my friend, you will never, never fit in this time until you've made arrangements for eternity. And the way you do that is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.